I'll just jump in and say good morning again to those of you who are just dialing in for the live call at 10:10. And today you're going to experience a part of the insiders because Paula has something amazing to tell you, and she's going to keep going. So, Paula?
Yeah, this information is so relevant. I know we're getting it from a lot of places, but I wanted to make sure our listeners were getting this information firsthand. We were talking about COVID-19 and how it was coded up until March 31st and then the change as of 4/1. So cases are coded differently prior to March 31st or April 1st. And then as of April 1st, now we're going to jump in and talk about how we code these cases as of April 1st. Number one, we're going to code only confirmed cases, right? Number two, we're going to sequence COVID-19 first if it meets the definition for principal, and we're talking, of course, about inpatient status on that rule, except for obstetric cases. When it progresses to sepsis, you follow then the sepsis rules. There are specific diagnoses that the CDC speaks about, and we stated them earlier when we were talking about how to code them from up to March 31st, but now this is a change. Again, as of April 1st, this is how they're going to be coded. For pneumonia confirmed due to COVID-19, you're going to assign the new U07.1 code, COVID-19, and J1289 for other viral pneumonia. So you see it flip-flop the way we reported it in the prior to April 1st was a flip-flop, and we didn't have that U07.1 code. Second, acute bronchitis confirmed due to COVID-19, we're going to assign U07.1 and J20.8 for acute bronchitis due to other specified organisms or bronchitis NOS. If for acute or chronic, you're going to use J40. And then the third thing is COVID-19 associated with lower respiratory tract infection, not otherwise specified, or acute respiratory infection, not otherwise specified, you're going to report U07.1 and J22. If it's stated as respiratory infection, just that, not otherwise specified, you're going to report J98.8 with that U07.1. And then acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, due to COVID, you're going to report the U07.1 and the J80 for acute respiratory distress syndrome. Exposure to COVID-19, it's really the same as the previous directive that we had prior to March 31st. You're going to use Z as in zebra 03818 and Z20.818 as appropriate. And then they added another scenario that if there is an asymptomatic person screening without knowledge of exposure, that it code would be Z11, that is Z as in zebra, 11.59. And if the test is positive, you're going to revert back and report the way we just went through it, the U07.1, and based on whatever manifestation exists. So also, patient presenting during pregnancy, childbirth, or puerperium because of COVID-19, that means that's the reason for their presentation to the encounter. You're going to report O98.5, other viral diseases complicating pregnancy, followed by U07.1 and the codes for the manifestations. You know, those codes take precedence. And that's not a change to any rule. It's just they're adding in that U07.1. Signs and symptoms without a definitive diagnosis, you're going to report those symptoms with Z20.818. if appropriate for suspected contact or exposure, and this is an exception to guideline IC21C1 in the IC10 manual. And then next, the rule for coding COVID-19 that progresses to sepsis, severe sepsis, or septic shock is the same as reporting other infections that progress to sepsis. That rule did not change, and here's where the AHA gave some scenarios, and I went out and grabbed it for us, but you can also access it yourself. They give an example of if a patient is admitted with pneumonia due to COVID-19, which then progresses to viral sepsis, not present on admission, the principal diagnosis is U07.1, COVID-19, followed by the codes for the viral sepsis, A41.89, and viral pneumonia, J12.89. On the other hand, if a patient is admitted with sepsis due to COVID-19 pneumonia and the sepsis meets the definition of principal diagnosis, then the code for viral sepsis, A41.89, should be assigned as principal diagnosis, followed by the U07.1 and the J12.89 as secondary diagnosis. So it really matters. The circumstances of admission determine the principal diagnosis when it is related to, specifically, they're giving you that example, related to sepsis. And if there's documentation of severe sepsis, sepsis with acute organ dysfunction, septic shock, you're going to then add in those codes R65.20 or 21 as appropriate. So now let me go on down, Pam, and I think that we had just a couple things to say, and I know we're gonna go over today. I hope you can hang with us, just because I felt like this is so important. This is not a full webinar. We are going to be doing a full free webinar on COVID-19. We're doing a free webinar tomorrow on telehealth. You need to go to aqiq.com to sign up. We also put that on social media, or we're going to attempt to. This will be our first time trying to put those on social media. So, Pam, can you provide the information on how they can be notified and gain access to those things before we pop into the questions?
Yes. So just go in two places. You can either go on social media or you can go to our website, aq-iq.com. It's right there. Click through, and it says, you know, the cost is zero for this webinar, and it'll put you through on what to do right there, and it'll automatically approve you. The other place is on our Facebook page, and maybe you've gotten emails from us, or maybe you didn't, but either way, it'll lead you to the website or to our social media page, and the webinar is right there. So, and the questions, it was very wonderful to me to see so many questions come in. They're basically the same question. I'm not going to say just one person, because we got this question from a lot of different ways, a lot of different phraseologies of the same question. And so the basic gist of the question is, can you please tell me how the new CMS CDC COVID-19 ICD-10 code U07.1 guidelines apply to inpatient rehab coding? I know we're advised to use U07.1 for confirmed cases as the principal, but rehab guidelines are a little different for the UB04 and the IRF-PI. For example, in rehab, we would code the condition still being treated on the UB04, and in theory, shouldn't the COVID-19 be resolved by the time they get to rehab? And if rehab also follows the new guideline, would U07.1 need to be reported on the IRF-PI as an additional etiology comorbid condition, or not at all if it's resolved? So from what I've read, here's one of the people. It says, it seems like most of the patients who come to rehab are likely to have critical illness myopathy, which is IGC 3.8, metabolic encephalopathy, IGC 2.1, or debility and weakness following acute respiratory failure, pneumonia, sepsis, and whatever. And so they're looking for some guidance for rehab coding. And another person described it by saying, could you give examples of the correct coding sequencing for the UB04 admit and the primary diagnosis and IRF-PI etiologic and comorbid conditions using the example diagnoses critical illness myopathy due to COVID, metabolic encephalopathy due to COVID, acute respiratory failure due to COVID, pneumonia, the same way, due to COVID, everything. And if there's other guidance that you might say for a patient who is admitted to rehab for COVID-19 related condition and develops symptoms, is tested and found not to have it, would we still use U07.1 and that become the admit primary etiologic?
Okay. Yeah, Pam, it was found to have COVID-19. Yeah. So if they have symptoms, related symptoms, but they were not admitted for the COVID-19. So, yeah, we chose the wording of one person, but we had it come in with from several different, as Pam said. So just let me give you a disclaimer. You know, we've not been given any additional guidance on coding for IRF specifically. So we're all learning this kind of together. Also, there's a change in coding rules that we just talked about after the initial guidance from the CDC as well. So those discharges up until 331 will be coded differently than those discharges 4-1 and on. Hopefully, you heard the pre-show all the way, and we actually did it all the way into the actual show, and you're now aware of that information if you weren't before. Let's see if anything else I want to say about that on my disclaimer. As we just spoke about, the CDC issued those initial guidance and then followed up with two more documents providing additional guidance and changes for coding to the scenarios. For inpatient rehab, yes, you are correct. On the UB, we report only conditions that continue to exist. So that's one of the rules we need to realize, because the UB is coded differently than the IRF-PI. However, on the IRF-PI, the etiologic diagnosis can be resolved. Think about it. It is the condition that caused the residual or the impairment that ultimately required the rehab. So the etiologic can be resolved and be the cause of the need for rehab. The definition of the etiologic is the etiologic problem that led to the impairment for which the patient is receiving rehab. So it can be resolved. So on the IRF-PI, that etiologic diagnosis, not your comorbidities, but the etiologic can actually have been resolved. Now, for UB04 coding, we report only what is present, and for the principal, we are directed to report COVID-19 when it meets the definition of principal, which is the chief reason for occasioning the admission determined after careful study. Now, ICD-10 guidelines for rehab encounters for the UB also state, sequence first the code for the condition for which the service is being performed. You know, that to me is not very clear. But they go on to give an example. For example, for an admission encounter for rehab for right-sided dominant hemiplegia following a cerebrovascular infarction, report I-69.351. And that one is pretty straightforward to me. It also says, if the condition for which the rehabilitation service is being provided is no longer present, and here is a golden nugget for me, because if the condition is no longer present means if it is present, that's when I'm going to use it as my principal. But if it's no longer present, you're going to report the appropriate aftercare or the first listed as the first listed or principal diagnosis, unless the rehab service is being provided following an injury. So the coding question, U07.1, COVID-19, like we said, kind of drilled it in the ground here. It was effective 4/1/2020 with a complete set of guidelines published as well. We are directed, like we said earlier, to code only those confirmed cases in all settings. Therefore, consistent regardless if you're in the acute rehab or the acute hospital or the outpatient setting, if it's documented as possible, probable, suspected, inconclusive, U07.1 is not reported. You would report a code explaining the reason for the encounter. Usually it's a symptom such as fever or, you know, that contact with or exposure with a Z code, Z20.828, I think was one of them. We're also directed that when there is a presumptive positive, it is coded as confirmed. Now, a presumptive positive test means an individual has tested positive for the virus at a local or state level, but it's not yet been confirmed by the CDC. And they also go on to say that the CDC confirmation is no longer required. So, but it might be still labeled as presumptive at some point, you know, at that point. I'm just not sure. You ask also for specific examples of cases related to critical illness myopathy, metabolic encephalopathy, acute respiratory failure, pneumonia, due to or associated with COVID-19. So we're going to have to separate that out a minute from the UB, how we code the UB versus how we code the IRF-PI. And stick with us, too, if you're on doing the outpatient, because you probably gained some wisdom out of this or some nuggets out of this. So on the UB04 for critical illness myopathy due to COVID-19, again, we haven't had any direction, but I'm just going based on our knowledge of coding and sequencing and how the IRF-PI and the UB04 differ. So for critical illness myopathy due to COVID-19, I would say, and that's, you know, COVID-19 is resolved, I would say, the critical illness myopathy would be reported as your principal. And if COVID-19 was still present, it's kind of iffy right now. There's an argument to be made as it's principal or secondary. But if for me, if the primary focus of treatment then is that critical illness myopathy, I can see and argue very strongly that critical illness myopathy going as a primary diagnosis. And if the COVID-19 still existed, it's probably not very, they're not in the heated throes of the disease, then it is reported as secondary. We're treating that residual in the rehab. Also, the residual exists, so we are not anticipating that you should report Z51.89, other specified aftercare, because you're not performing aftercare for the COVID-19 at this point. You're performing treatment for the critical illness myopathy as a result of that COVID-19. I could also very clearly see that COVID-19, and this is something you guys may have to talk about in your organizations because we haven't seen any clear definitions yet. I could also see the COVID-19 being listed with CIM as your EDO, because that actually makes the most sense to me. ERFPI, that's exactly what we were talking about. I believe you would want to capture that COVID was the causative issue in bringing the patient to rehab. So my recommendation, or our recommendation, is U07.1 as the EDO with critical illness myopathy as a secondary EDO. Even if the COVID-19 no longer exists, we can report it on the ERFPI. If it did still exist, there's some argument, again, for reporting it as a comorbidity, although, again, there's been no change to the tier list to include that diagnosis that I have seen, so I'll have to do a little more digging and see if I can find if that is stated somewhere. It would seem appropriate to do so. I just haven't seen it. So if you guys have, reach out and let us know. For metabolic encephalopathy due to COVID, it's going to be reported similarly on the UD and ERFPI. This is a residual from the illness. So just like that hemiplegia from a stroke, this is the residual from the illness. That's the way I think about it. Acute respiratory failure would be reported differently. And to remind you, all coding is based on what the physician documents. The etiologic diagnosis for acute respiratory failure due to COVID-19 without mention of sepsis as the condition that caused the impairment would result in U07.1 and J96.0001 or 02 as appropriate as a secondary etiologic. The principal diagnosis on the UB will depend on what exists and if there was any procedure performed on the respiratory system. For example, heaven forbid the patient got to the situation of having a lung transplant. This would be aftercare for that lung transplant would actually be a part of that, would be the principal. And then other options could include acute respiratory failure if it still exists and meets the definition of principal diagnosis, or that one we don't really like to use that much, debility or weakness, and other specified aftercare, again, depending on what the documentation states in the record. Pneumonia due to COVID-19 reported similar to acute respiratory failure, except the U07.1 and the pneumonia are reported as the etiologic. Coding on the UB, again, is determined based on what still exists and meets the definition of principal. Is it the residual weakness following the treatment for a pneumonia due to COVID, or does the condition still exist? It's a little confusing, because the AHA also states that COVID-19 can be used as the principal diagnosis for rehab encounter depending on the circumstances of the admission or encounter. Again, got to look back at that physician documentation. So on the UB, it's still, I know we're going to be asking ourselves, what is the reason for this patient's admission? Now, you ask for guidance for a patient who was not admitted to rehab for COVID-19, related condition, but who did develop symptoms, is tested and found to be positive. The question is, would the U07.1 become the admit primary or etiologic diagnosis? Now, remember back to the guidelines for rehab encounters we just read for the UB. Sequence first the code for the condition for which the service is being performed. For example, for an admission encounter for rehab, that right dominant hemiplegia, it gives you that whole example. And then it tells us that the principal diagnosis, well, it tells us, hang on just a second, if the condition for which the rehab service is being provided is no longer present, then you're going to report the aftercare code or the first listed code. But one of the things in being present, that nugget to me is, for instance, with COVID-19, if it's no longer present and the patient just has weakness, what is present? The present issue is the weakness or the debility. Again, we have to go back to the physician's documentation. But in this scenario, what the question was, the principal diagnosis on the EUB would not change. The condition would be reported as a secondary code. Also on the IRFPI, it would be listed as a complication and reported in both the complication and comorbidity sections of the IRFPI. So no, the etiologic would not change. If the focus of care and resource consumption changes to care for the COVID-19 as a manifestation or residual due to the disease, the discharge IGC could possibly change. However, we are also aware that some IRFs are acting as acute hospitals, and that could get confusing. So be on alert what your facility is doing and, you know, what patients are where, because that could, you know, change the coding of the scenario. So hope this was helpful to you. The link for the AHA that had some examples we'll provide for you on this call. Also, I do need to follow up that last statement with the fact that, you know, anytime you report a complication on the IRFPI, if the condition was recognized on the day of discharge or the day preceding discharge, it is not reported on the IRFPI. It can be reported on the UV, so there needs to be some mechanism to, you know, get that information if there are two people doing the two different documents. Hey, you can't report this one here. Usually we rely on POAs and a lot of communication. But those last 2 days, diagnoses that are recognized those last 2 days are not reported on the IRFPI. Also, steps to learn more from AQIQ and make your revenue far smarter and stay in the know, sign up for our free account with AQIQ.com. And join IRF the Whole Pie and or Coffee with a Coder Insiders groups on Facebook and LinkedIn. So, you know, let's do that and stay connected in this time of trying, you know, everybody feeling disconnected. And thank you for your questions. Please send in more questions, you know, related to COVID or anything else. And join us for those two free webinars if you want to be notified. Pam told you how. Pam, I'm going to flip it back over to you and let you do the drawing. I think it'll have to be from folks who called in today, right?
Yes, it has. I'm glad you talked a little while so I could write down all the phone numbers. So if it comes up on my little control board and tells me a first name, I'll put the first name. And if it didn't, I put the last few numbers of the phone number. So anyway, we very much appreciate having you participating and telling your friends and sending in questions and all of that and not being distant from us. This distant thing is pretty hard. We do something called a mugging for those of you who are new, and we have commissioned a beautiful mug for your hot drink with AQIQ on it and Smart Revenue. That is going to be our gift to this person when I get them on the phone and find out where to send it. So I've drawn the number out of the pile on my desk, and your phone number ends in 882. I'll be giving you a phone call to learn who you are and how to get you your mug. So congratulations. And we hope to see you, know that you're here anyway, in 2 weeks on April the 20th for episode 88.